talking about how to press on these last few weeks, how to press on. You know, 2020 was an exciting year in a different sort of way. And then this year, maybe you've experienced some tough times as well and disappointments and challenges. And I believe that God wants to speak to us about pressing on and what that means. We know that God gives us the power to do that, and God has the power and the strength and love and grace, mercy, to make things happen beyond our ability to make it happen, obviously. But there are also some things, instructions that He's given us in the Word of God that we need to do, that we need to put into practice, if you will, to see God's blessing. And today we want to cover another part of this. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, He taught us many lessons. When we look at the sacrifice of His life and Him going to the grave, being there 3 days and being raised from the dead, we know there's power in that. We know that our salvation, our healing, and everything that we have comes through the work that Jesus Christ did. But there are also little mini lessons through the process of Him hanging on the cross and doing what He did that we can learn from, that we can apply to our lives each and every day. Philippians 3:14 says this, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. And thank You for the work that You did, but Lord, for the work that You're doing. And God, I pray for an impartation of Your revelation to us today, God, through Your word. God, that it's in black and white. But Lord, I pray that it get beyond our eyes and get to our heart today. Help us, Lord, to follow You with all of our ways. In Jesus' name, amen. It's through the power of Jesus, what He did, that gives us the ability to press forward. We don't have the human ability to do all that we can do. Christ gave us the power to do what He wants us to do, but it comes supernaturally. It's a lot bigger and a lot more than what we have the ability to do. If we were to look at the verses 28 and 29 of John 19, we see that Jesus was hanging on the cross in just final moments from His life ending on this earth at that moment. And John 19, 28, 29 says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, I thirst. I thirst." It should encourage us to know that Jesus Christ, He proved that He was all power. He could do anything, nothing impossible. There was nothing beyond what Jesus could do. I mean, Jesus accomplished great miracles. He could have done anything at that moment that He would have no need, but yet He admitted a need that He had immediately that required a response. He said, "I thirst." I love the words to the song that the team sung a while ago, "I thirst for You." It's through our thirst that Jesus fills our hunger and our need. And for us to see that even Jesus Himself, all power, all greatness, became vulnerable, became to a place of need that He admitted that He was thirsty. No matter how spiritually strong we become, no matter how close to God we become, we will always find our place needing God. Needing a touch from Him. And maybe you're here today. Maybe you're at a place and you say, I need breakthrough. I need something from God. I need some miraculous thing to happen in my life to get me through this point. We will all, no matter where we are in life, no matter how young we are, how old we are, we will find our place, ourselves at a place that we need God. And so we see the response in verse 29. It says, now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to Jesus' mouth. They filled. Jesus could have done, he could have sent angels from heaven. He was thirsty. Something miraculous could have happened. But they took, Jesus said, I have this need, and they took the responsibility to fulfill the need that Christ had. I love what Elder John spoke of a while ago, and that was, he had a need, and the Lord supplied that need miraculously. Thank God he always has someone in place to help us. He always has someone in place. God knew that someone would be there to cure the thirst that Jesus had in his final moments. God always has someone close by to help fill a need in your life. And he can use anything, he can use anyone, but he will supply our need. And so maybe you're at a place today, you feel vulnerable, you feel in need, and you don't know what to do. It's interesting that Jesus didn't feel that admitting his thirst was going to make him any less powerful, any less majestic, any less of Christ. He admitted that he was thirsty. You know, sometimes we get into a place to where I don't want to admit that I need help. I don't want to admit that I'm lacking, that I'm vulnerable. I feel like I'm taking advantage of somebody because I'm in need. I don't want to admit that. Jesus admitted that he was thirsty. He was vulnerable. He needed help. Jesus Christ needed someone's help. And so many times in our life, there are fears that stop us, that hinder us for asking for help. Maybe the fear of being hurt. Has anybody never been hurt in this life yet? Fear of being hurt. Fear of being hurt could hinder us from asking for help and being vulnerable before God. Fear of being hurt. We've all been hurt. The last thing we want to do is to put ourselves in a position to be hurt again. You know what? I'm just not going to ask for help because I've been hurt before. You've probably heard that said recently. Someone has hurt me, so for fear of being hurt, I'm not going to ask for help. We've all been there. But Psalm 32, 3 through 5 says, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. You forgave the iniquity of my sin, Selah. God helped and encouraged whom we were not afraid to. I spoke on this, Crystal and I spoke on this, I think last Sunday, is that when we want love but we're not willing to open our heart to receive love, we can't really experience love. It's when we put down the walls. Yes, we're there to be hurt, but God in his awesome power will protect and will supply your need. That doesn't mean that we will never be hurt. That doesn't mean that people won't ever disappoint us. They probably will, but you know what? We have to remember that God is our source. He is our source. Another fear that could stop us from admitting to needing help or being vulnerable is the fear of rejection, being rejected. No, you don't deserve, or no, you don't need, or being rejected. Rejection is not easy to get past. You could have been rejected as a child, and you become an adult, and you say, well, I was rejected as a child. I'm certainly not going to rely on people. I'm going to do things myself. I'm going to make this happen myself. If I can't do it, then it's not going to get done. Fear of rejection. Rejection can hinder us from relationships that God puts in our life to help us. Fighting rejection and doing whatever it takes to be accepted could cause us to do things that's outside of our character only because We don't want to be rejected. We want to be accepted. John 12:43 says, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." That's an unhealthy trap. Because you know, you try to praise, you try to get the approval of man, and before you know it, they've changed the requirements. And you've got to meet the approval of man. They've changed the requirements. Talking to somebody the other day, and all the rules that man puts, even in churches today, you've got to meet these few rules, and then maybe you can qualify for our approval. And then those rules seem to change, and you've got to go, listen, we're here to serve God. We're put on this earth for one reason, and that is to please God. We don't have to please man. I believe that as we please God, even our enemies will take notice. They'll say, wow, God is doing a great thing in their life. Even our enemies will notice that the hand of God is on our life if we choose to praise God and to serve God first and foremost. Because God will never reject you. It doesn't matter where you are in life. You will never be rejected by God. And I believe that's one powerful point to what Jesus was trying to portray to us and to model to us, is that in this life we will have need of some help. We will have need of some vulnerability and need to know that we're human too. We'll never get to a level that we can't say, I don't need anyone. One of the most wealthiest men in the world developed Apple. And some of his dying days, his last days, he couldn't serve. He couldn't do the things that he wanted and enjoyed to do because there was only so much that he could do. He needed help. He needed someone to help him. And so it doesn't matter how far we in life, how far we go in life, or how many disappointments that we see, we need to know that Jesus wants us to please him and to serve him, and that he'll supply the needs that we have, even through the hands of other people. Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That's each one of us. Marvelous are your works, Lord, and that my soul knows very well. Another fear is fear of being exposed. Jesus was completely exposed. He was totally exposed, but yet he gave his life anyway. He was totally exposed. Many times we don't want to be exposed. No, I don't want people to see me in this way. I don't want people to see me needing something. I don't want people to see me vulnerable. But 2 Corinthians 4:2 says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. See, it's in our weakness that God makes us strong. It's in our need that God has the opportunity to prove that he's a miraculous God. No matter what need you have today, no matter how big it seems, no matter how small it seems, no matter how minor it is, if it's a need, it's a need. God is interested in meeting that need. He gives power to the weak, Isaiah 40:29 says. He gives power to the weak. To those who have no might, he increases strength. Just because we're saved, just because we know God, doesn't mean that we'll go through life without having a need again. We need God every single day. We need God to breathe, much less doing anything beyond that. We need God every single day. How can we live in that place of humility? Even as Christians, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad you're listening, because Christ is the answer. And then when you become a Christian, those who are Christians today that follow Christ, what do we need to do in order to be humble before God, to say, God, I want to come to you in a place of humility. I want to know that I can be vulnerable and I can be in need, and I know that you'll supply my need. I believe we can do that by surrounding ourselves with godly family. Surrounding ourselves with godly family. What does that mean? What does that look like? That means that people, through the love of God, can reach out and touch and help and do what they can do. And God ministers through people to do that. And I'm thankful to God for this awesome church in these last 11 plus years that we've been here, that we see the hand of God moving through people and serving and loving and reaching out and caring and praying and standing and walking, doing everything that's possible that we can humanly possibly do. And then God takes that and multiplies it and puts his blessing on it and causes things to happen that we cannot make happen. It's only by the hand of God. But surrounding ourselves with godly family is very important. It's what we surround ourselves with that either we will influence them or they'll influence us. And usually the stronger of those two is what happens. But too many times I've seen that the godly family was not there, and it was a negative surrounding, negative environment, and that person that had a call upon their life was influenced by the negative more than them influencing to the positive. And so we need to remember that we surround ourselves with godly family. Jesus did that. I love that Jesus went to the community, and he went to the restaurants, and he went to the homes of people that he didn't know, people that were rotten and sinners, and Jesus still went there. But Jesus' core group was the surrounding of himself with godly family. You see, that's the difference. So we can go out. We can go out to the world, and I love for us to do that. I want us to go out there and pluck them out and say, listen, you think you know love, experience the love of God, and then you'll know how far love that you were from. And that's my heart to do that, is to go and influence the world with God. But we've got to remember that we've got to go surrounding ourselves with a godly family so that we go in the protection and the strength of God all around us. So that the fiery darts of the devil, as the Bible calls it, can't penetrate the surrounding that you have. He can try, but he can't penetrate. He can't get to you because you're protected by the prayer and the protection of those people around you, family. And that's why this is so important. You're important. This church body is important. Because that's our covering. That's a covering for me as I'm in the world, for all of us as we're in the world. All the things that we do in the world. And we can't stay here 24/7. We can lock the door and say, let's bring food in, and we'll never go in the world again. What? That's not doing what Jesus called us to do. He said, go into the world. For God so loved the world. We sang it a while ago. So we've got to go into the world. We're not called not to go into the world. We're just called not to be part of it. We're called not to let it get in us, but for us to get in it, right? But to surround ourselves with godly family. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get into things in life that we look back and say, well, how in the world did I get here? Sometimes we get there because we do like the prodigal son. We leave home thinking, I'm good. I'm strong. I'm good to go. Bye, Dad, and I'm going to go do my thing here, and I'll be fine. And then a little time later, we find out that what did I just do, and how did I get here in all this muck and dirt and mud and going through everything that God blessed me with. Surrounding ourselves by godly family is very important. It's very, very important. And when we do that, I believe that we can protect ourselves with what God's put in us to carry into the world. And not only that, we can get stronger and stronger and stronger. And God will open doors of favor to you to speak to people that need touched. You know, there are men and women in high places today that it's going to be people just like you and me that God will use to reach those people, that they'll turn their faces toward God. And then there are other people, like we were in Jacksonville, I don't know, sometime back, Chris and I, and we were coming off the interstate headed somewhere. We'd been the south part of Jacksonville, Orange Park area, had come to an exit there. We were going to get off on Atlantic Avenue and make another stop. And as we were stopped, there were several cars back from the red light. And we stopped there, and it was quite a wait, this red light. And there was this pretty young girl standing on the side of the road with a sign, need food. We thought, wow. And at the same time, Crystal spoke to me. And I said, we need to help her. We need to say something to her. And so we rolled the window down. She came over with a smile on her face. She said, hey. We said, hey, are you okay? And she said, yes. She said, I just going through a divorce, an abusive situation, and things are bad, and I have no money, I have no food. And I said, we want to help you. I said, but more than that, God wants to help you. I said, are you in church anywhere? She said, no, sir. I said, you need to get in a church family. Man, I was so hoping that it was right here. Said, you need to get into a church family where people can love you. And we thought as we pulled away that could be one of our children. That's somebody's daughter right there. Can you imagine if that was your daughter? So we never know. We never know what God wants to encourage us to do and how God wants to use us to speak to others. But we've got to be surrounded. That's, you know, that precious young girl, beautiful young girl that found herself in this place. She, growing up, she never had any idea that she would be where she was at, standing on a street corner by herself in Jacksonville, Florida, asking for money. Breaks your heart. Those are the people that God wants us to reach, no matter how high they are, if they're kings, queens, and priests, or no matter how low they are, doesn't have a home, no food. They're both important to Jesus Christ. Jesus died for the one as he died for the other, and there's no difference. It's a breathing person that was created by Jesus Christ, and that person is special to him. But our church family, we can offer that family connection, that godly atmosphere. Ephesians 2, 20 through 22 says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's the reason, he's the purpose, he's the backbone of who we are. The chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Who's the temple of the Lord? We are. You and I are. We're the temple. So he's the chief cornerstone. He's the very backbone. He's the skeleton. He's the nuts and bolts of who we are, fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We are a godly family, and we want to help. We want to assist. You know, if we were a private club, we could come here and meet and do our thing and go home. But this is about Jesus Christ. This is affecting the world. This is impacting everything around us for Jesus Christ. And then secondly, stay connected to God. Stay connected to God. God is our life source. God is our life source. We are like the branch on that tree out there. If that branch breaks off from that tree, that branch will eventually die because it's come apart from the life source. The life source for that branch is that tree, because that tree is rooted in the ground. There's nourishments that come up and go through the branch to keep it healthy and strong. That firewood that we're burning out there, Terry, is from broken branches and trees that have died and they're being burned. And so we've got to stay connected to God. He is our life source. Without the life source, we can't live. We think we can sometimes. We think we're good. We think that I'm good and I don't need any more life. I'm an adult now. I'm good. Remember I talked last week about us, when we all reached the age of 16 years old, we knew everything. We had all the answers at 16. Well, come to find out, when we hit 30, there's not much we know. And here at 54, I'm still learning that there's not much I know. Still learning. But God is our life source. We've got to stay connected to him. He is our help. He is our strength. He's the one who fills our thirst. He's the one who fills our hungry souls. In John 14, 6, this is not on the overhead. Make a note of John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I'm the way, truth, and life. He is our everything. He's our way, our truth, and our life. John 14, 6 says that. There's not anything else that we can pull life from. Our physical life, our spiritual life, our emotional life, mind, soul, and body. God is our, he is everything. He's our total answer for that. Stay connected to him. I was, as the worship team this morning was practicing, Jordan and Tim were here, and so they were tied up. So that's my time to be in my office with the grandchildren. And of course, all four of the grandchildren know that. So when they're here and I don't have to be on the platform helping do something, that I'm in the office. And so that's their time to get G-Pa. And Tim said, well, Pastor, where do you want little man? Where do you want Maddox? He just turned one. And he brought his carrier in. And I said, anywhere. I said, because wherever they go in this office, that's where I'm going to be. And I said, I'll wind up start in my chair, and I might wind up on the other side of the room pretty shortly. So Bailey was in there. Maddox was, he was chill, and he was just watching and grinning and cooing and chewing on his passy. I think he's cutting another tooth. He's getting ready for some hot wings. And so Maddox was sitting there having fun. And Bailey, of course, was in my chair. She said, "G-Pa, I need to be in my chair. I need to write some notes, and you're going to be my patient." She said, "You're my customer." And so she had me sit on the other side of the desk while Bailey sat in the chair. And I got her pens for her, got her paper and everything out there, and she was sitting there writing. And she found out, she's 4 years old, but she knows her ABCs. She knows them all. And she knows how to spell L-O-V-E. She knows how to spell G-P-A. She knows how to spell G-A-G-A. She knows how to spell Bailey. She knows how to spell Cook. She has a lot of things that she knows how to spell, but she said, "G-Pa." She said, "I need to spell something." So she needed my help. And so she began to write. This is some of the information that she said. She said, "I need to know the code to your phone." I'll fold that over for you watching online. Okay. She said, "G-Pa, I'm writing G-Pa Bailey." She said, "But I need to put paper at the end of it. How do you spell paper?" So I told her how to spell paper. And I didn't have to help her with the letters. She knows the letters. And then she said, "This is the writing club." She said, "How do you spell writing club?" So I helped her come up with the spelling of writing club. So she's got that here. She said, "I put a dash there, G-Pa." I said, "Yeah, that's good. That looks good." So she said, "Now I've got one more thing to do." She said, "Let me put it on here and then everything's going to be okay." I said, "Okay, good." So she put at the bottom, "Love G-Pa Bailey." And she said, "G-Pa, I put that there, but I already knew how to spell love." I said, "Okay, that's good, baby." But she's connected to G-Pa so that when she needs help, she knows that G-Pa is trustworthy to help her. Now, there'll come a time when Bailey, and probably be a real short time, that Bailey won't have to help me to spell certain things. She'll learn how to spell things, and in 10 years, she won't be coming to me for help spelling things. She'll be coming to me for help in something else. Your Gaga says that. Or Gaga says that. Gaga says that. It'll be other things. But she's staying connected. Understand, I'm not talking about me being her source. I'm talking about God being our source. Is that we've got to stay connected to the source, that no matter where we are in life. No, we may not need the same things in 10 years that we need today, but today is where we are. And you know what? Jesus loves us right here today when we've got the situation that we're in. And in 10 years when we mature and we get past that and we look back and say, "I can't believe that I came through that." And there are many times that Crystal and I, we'll just sit around and we'll talk about how faithful God is. How faithful God is, not only be living life, I mean, our lives could have been cut short, either through a heart attack or through a van wreck up in Canton, Georgia, back in 1995 or 96, where a van pulling a travel trailer come off of a hill and went into a hydroplane with that van and trailer, and a car came and hit us head on, spun out and landed in the front of the travel trailer where Crystal's head busted the windshield. I hit the steering wheel so hard that I bent the column to the steering wheel, left me bruised on my cheek for weeks. So there are so many things in life that God has pulled us through, and He's been faithful to do that. So no matter where we are, and even when we have no clue that He's protecting us, He's with us because we're staying connected to Him. We know that He's our life source. He knows that we need Him for life. He knows that we need Him for our finances. He knows that we need Him in our relationships. We need Him past, present, and future. There's not a day that goes by that we don't need God. We've got to stay connected to the life source. And He is our life source. Amen. He is our life source. There is no life outside of Jesus Christ. I don't care how good you think it is. Imagine if Jesus were part of it, how great it would be then. Ephesians 4:16 says, "From whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, Elder John was talking about that a while ago, how the body comes together, the body of Christ comes together. By what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Wow. It's chock full. I mean, Christ is our life giver, but yet he gives us life to do all the different things that he wants us to do. To impart life. He doesn't give us life just so that we could say, I've got life. Letting life good. We can sit back and enjoy it. Man, life is good. And that's good to do that. You've got to unplug. You've got to rest. Especially in our 50s now, we've learned the importance of that too. But beyond that, we need to give life. We need to give life. I know Elder Ross, he's in his mid-90s, he said, yeah, whatever, 50s. I hear him say it now, yeah, you're still wet behind the ears. I know, Elder Ross, we're young. I plan to stay that way too. Iron sharpens iron, Proverbs 27:17 says. Iron sharpens iron. And number three, build healthy relationships. It's important that we build healthy relationships. Crawford and I don't have to talk every single day, but we know that we've got a healthy relationship. I can call him anytime, and he can call me anytime. That's how healthy relationships are, because we know that we're here for each other. That's the way it is with God. Build healthy relationships, number one, with God, and number two, with each other, so that we know I can call Terry anytime. I can call Andy anytime. I can call John Ross. I can call any of you anytime. Tommy, I can call you anytime. Brother Robert, I can call you anytime. We can call God anytime. Make sure that we've got healthy relationships. We need one another. Just as Christ has given you life, we need each other's life too. That's why this corporate worship is so important on Sundays. And Wednesday night Bible study, Monday night prayer meeting, all the things that go on here, and we're slowly getting back into some more things that's coming up, and using the wisdom of God to do that. Strong relationships are important. There's strength, there's security in relationships, and strong relationships are important. Jesus promotes it. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. That's what this house is built on, giving preference to one another, building each other up, loving each other, and wanting it to grow and grow. And then lastly, number four, embrace God's help. God can offer help, but if we don't embrace it and receive it, then what good is it? Here, I want to help you. No, I don't want your help. I don't want your help. Has anybody ever said that? You've tried to help somebody? No, I don't want your help. We've got to embrace God's help, because there are times that we're weak. There are times that we're weary. There are times that we're out, there we're sick, that we're thirsty, that we're down and out, that we're discouraged. So my goodness, do you get discouraged sometimes? Everybody does. Everybody has a weak spot. We have to admit that. We have to be open to God's helping us and doing what he wants to do, laying down our fears and embracing God's help. Ephesians 2:19 says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. He loves us so much. He's given us everything we need. We'll say, what about this thing? I've been praying all these years for it. Well, part of our relationship with God is having faith in his timing as well. Just because it doesn't happen, you've heard me say it, just because it's not happening today or this moment or tomorrow morning, Jesus is still faithful. He's still faithful. And he wants to help, whether we're weary, whether we're weak, whether we're in pain, whether we're down. Some of you are going through some things that maybe nobody know about. You haven't told anybody about maybe some things that you're going through. Jesus is interested in that thing right there. He cares about that thing. He doesn't want you to carry your burden. Why would he tell us not to carry our burden if he wanted you to carry your burden? He wasn't tricking us. He means he wants to carry your burden, because he loves. He's there for us. He wants to help us. But we've got to open our heart to him and say, God, I need help to be vulnerable. And that close family that's around you, whether it is now or not, or whether you're going to build that close family around you. And you can count on this family right here stepping in and being with you. But when you're in need and when you need someone to help and pray with you and encourage you, you know that you've got God right there with you to help you. We're all weak sometimes. That's the worship team to come and get ready. I want to share with you a personal story. It's about the same time of that wreck that happened in Canton, Georgia. Chris and I had been, we were both raised in church, been born in church and raised in church all of our life. And I thought that, I used to think that you were raised in church and you were a good Christian, that if you were asked to do something, you had to say yes. That's the way I thought it had to be. And so in our early marriage, married in 85, and so by the mid-90s, we'd been married about 10 years or so, and probably in maybe the 7th year, 8th year, whatever it was, there were many times that if there was worship practice, the children were young, and I was expected to be there, I was there. I'd say, I'll eat later, y'all, you know, priority was put on my family, but many times I would put obligations, what I thought was God, over Crystal. There was a time that I did that. That's why I'm so adamant and so passionate about telling you that's not the way to go now. You know, God's got to come first and then ministry. Used to, I thought it was ministry. Used to, I thought God and ministry was the same. Well, God's first, the family, and then ministry. And that's the only way to keep peace, not only in yourself, but also in your family, and God will breathe life into that. Well, during that time, I was too young to know that and hadn't been taught otherwise. I thought, well, if I'm asked to do something, the answer is yes. In other words, yes is here, you just fill in the blank, whatever it is that you need, and yes. And so found ourselves placed several years into marriage and two children and started a business not long after that. We were busy and going hard and found our place in a church to where we had obligated to do everything. I mean, somehow or another, we turned around and thought, do we have a day where we can enjoy the family? And found myself at just total burnout. I mean, toast, ashes, done. I don't know who I am. All I know is that I'm chasing myself around the corner and still can't find him. And so we had decided to unplug, decided to resign, decided to step back. Felt the Lord moving. Chris and I prayed, and we just felt like it was time to step back And so during that time, like I said, it was right in that time frame. We were in Canton, Georgia, and that happened. I mean, the devil was wide open on our trail and nearly took our life out. The children were in the back seat of the van. They came out of that head-on collision with not a scar on them. But in the days and the weeks and the months leading up through that period, it was Father's Day of 96, I believe. And it was our first Sunday of being unplugged from everything. And Chris and I talked that the week leading up to that Sunday, Father's Day. We hadn't planned this. Are you kidding? We were doing all we could to do what we had to do. And so we said, well, we need to go to church somewhere this Sunday. It's Father's Day. We need to go to church somewhere. And so we decided, a church in Brunswick called Christian Renewal, to you, Father's Day Sunday. And we sat there, Pastor Ligon was speaking that Sunday. And when I stepped in there and sat, tired, weary, worn out, thirsty, I mean, any name that you could possibly think of to go along with that. That's where I was. Everybody was nice, and we went in and sat down, and not long into the service, I just began to cry. I mean, I don't even know what triggered it. I just began to cry, just sitting in that chair, just crying, crying, crying. Then, man, I went to the sniffles, and I was a dish rag. I mean, I was done. Back then, having Sunday night service, and when we finally left church that Sunday morning, got in the car. I said, "What do you think?" She said, "I love it." She said, "Are we coming back tonight?" I said, "Yes, we are." We went back Sunday night, same thing. Sat in a chair and just cried. Nonstop. Cried. I couldn't tell you what they sung, who was there, what the message was about. Didn't really care. I was where I knew God wanted me, in Crystal 2. And so that began a months-long process of healing, restoration, for months. I was asked to be part of the team there. You know, most of the people there knew us and asked me. I said, no. That's where I started to say no, right there. No. Come on. Nope. We're going to be sitting for a while. It's an honor to be here, and thank you for understanding. And we'll be here, but... And so God started that process, and that's where God started preparing me for this, was at that moment. But I had to come to a place that Mike, you were in ministry. You were helping people. You were doing this. You were doing that. You were in music. You were helping with the youth. You were an elder. You were helping with the finances. If they needed help, I was there in the middle of it. Somehow or another, I don't know how in the world it happened, but I was there. You were doing all these things. Wasn't God protecting you? Listen, if you're not doing what God has called you to do, then you're not doing yourself justice. Nor are you fulfilling God's plan. I don't care what things that you're doing. If it's not God's will for you to do it, then it's not God's will for you to do it. And I found out there were some things, just because I could do it, wasn't my place to do it. That's when I found out how the body of Christ works, is that I do my part and God's called others to do their part. So God began that work in me, and it was months. And I know the devil was mad as a hornet. He had already tried to kill us. He was doing everything he could. Finances, everything. He was wreaking havoc. He was just having a heyday. But we stayed faithful. Exactly what I've told you to do this today out of the Bible, that's what we did. We were faithful. We could have made up all kinds of excuses not to tithe, not to give, not to be in church, not to have friends, just to unplug, just to go shut down and work and go home and not worry about anybody. We had a good excuse to, but we didn't do it. We stayed faithful. As I stood here yesterday and talked about our brother Bill Sullins, how faithful he was and how God blessed him. That's the faithfulness. But we've got to come to a place, no matter where you are today, we've got to come to a place to where we admit, God, I need help. I need help. And God may miraculously do something in your life today, or he may use somebody else to do it in your life today. God can speak through a donkey. He can speak to you however he decides to. You've got to have ears to listen. And I believe that God, through his hand today, will bring us to a place of restoration. But he desires to do a work. He desires to do a work. And I'm living proof that God is faithful. But we've got to rely on him. We've got to be thirsty for him. We've got to be hungry for him. those who hunger and thirst for his righteousness will be filled. Where does that filling come from? It comes from Jesus Christ. I love you. I love you. God loves you. There's a new day coming. It's a new day coming, and we've got to make sure that we're connected to Jesus Christ. And when we are, there'll come a life that we never could imagine. Our life is not based on the stock market. Our life is not based on who does what, wherever. Our life is based on our connection to Jesus Christ. I want to ask the worship team.